All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We have a lot to get into this week, so let's jump right in. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today, and I think we have a really cool show in store, a really fun, interesting thing. I think you can hear that I'm maybe getting a little sick. I can feel the dryness in my throat. I can feel the evil villain creeping out of me. Well, Batman, you thought that you would be able to take over Gotham after I did all the work. Now, it sounds a bit more like Green Goblin from Spider-Man, huh? All right, Peter. They don't love you, Peter. I'll be waiting for you, Spider-Man. Spider-Man. That's my Willem Dafoe impression. Spider-Man. I know it doesn't sound perfect, but man, does that make me laugh. Spider-Man, we've been waiting here. Do you know how much I've sacrificed? Anyway, we're in a good mood. We are rolling through the show today. There's a lot of fun things to get into and to talk about. So let's hop right into it. Okay, so we're going to kick off today with a funny story, okay? So I'm not going to share names, but you are going to love this. It's a classic case of being like trying to be the nice person, trying to maybe do something nice, and then just being caught, or not caught, but like sort of, you know, put into a position that just isn't fun at all. So I have a friend. I'm going to call this friend number one. Number one does tattoos, and we've become friends, and we're both non-Germans, so we have some things to connect on. And, you know, it's blossoming into a really nice friendship, and I'm very thankful for that. And not too long ago, I hit up number one when I had plans in the city that fell through, and I didn't really, so my evening was free, but I didn't really just want to go straight back home, because when you're in the city, from where I live, it takes a little bit more time. And I also just didn't want to come back here and just, you know, do what I always do on a regular weekday. I wanted to be in the city. I wanted to do something fun. I wanted to be a sassy little starlight unicorn, you know. I wanted to, like, go out and blossom, you know. But I didn't really, you know, I had a lot of my friends right now are extremely busy, understandably. So I didn't really, my super close friends are really busy. And so I thought, well, you know what, you know, this number one person is really nice and easy to talk to, and I'll just see if they're free, what they're doing, what's going on, you know, just chit-chat. So I hit up number one, and number one said, I'm at this bar restaurant area, which I'd been to before and I was familiar with. I wasn't too far away from it. And they said that they were with their friend whom the story is about, who I will call number two. So number one said, oh, I'm here with my friend number two. And if that's okay for you, of course you can join us. We have a table at this place. And I said, are you sure? Like, is it like a one-on-one thing? Are you catching up with a friend? I don't want to intrude. And they said, no, it's really fine. Just, you know, come by and sit down. So I went to this restaurant bar and met up with number one and number two, one and two. It feels like thing one and thing two, and which makes me the Cat in the Hat. Oh, my God. So I go there, and the restaurant bar, this is also just anecdotal, but it happens to be a location that tends to be quite full with mostly non-Germans. And I'm just making a little note here for a small thing that did happen there that's not connected to the main story. But basically, I go there, I meet them, and I meet two, and two is a very nice person, and one and two are sharing some food, and you know, we're chit-chatting about how things are going. You know, one and two are both working in, like, tattoo art. and traveling a lot and working at their own different, you know, freelancing studios and things like that. So it's cool. It's fun. You know, I when I meet someone new, I'm very inquisitive. I ask a lot of questions because I want, I want to know about them. I want to know who they are. But also it's this, sometimes a gift, sometimes a curse of maybe being overly polite, asking really like, I want them to know that I am curious about who they are and what they do and what they like and where they go and what their family's like and all these things. Sometimes I can see the line where I'm asking too many questions and sometimes I can't. But this for me felt very normal, very casual. So I'm going to pause there just for a second because that's where I met two. And the story that I'm about to tell is about two. Small pause, anecdotally. They're at that table, and it's one of those situations where you basically can sit down on the end of a long table. So, you know, a long table can be reserved in certain bars and restaurants. If there's like a party of like, let's say eight, I think the group that I'm thinking of was like eight dudes. And So me and one and two are sitting at the end of this table talking as they share a club sandwich and I'm ordering a beer. And in front of me is like eight dudes. And it's uncommon, I would say, that in a bar or restaurant like this, particularly because of the culture around it, that there are so many heavily Bavarian Germans. And just to paint a picture for those listening who might not really get the vibe that's created in my head when I think of a truly deeply Bavarian drunk guy, imagine that it's like the turn of the 20th century and you're going to West Virginia to work in the coal mines. It's really like the most, but they're all pussies. No, I'm kidding. No, please don't kill me. No, I'm kidding. But no, this this group was really the lamest group of people. And you know what? Obviously not because they're Bavarian. And obviously not because they're German. My four or five closest friends that I have are German and all Bavarian. So it's not about that. It's because they suck. You know, people who just suck. Like, the reason I referenced the coal miner guys, and, you know, apologies, I don't mean offense to, you know, coal miner people, or whatever. But what I mean by that is that you can tell that they work hard, you know, God love them. I wish them, you know, I hope that all their wishes come true in life. But you can tell they're like rough and tumble dudes who got off work and went to this place to get sloshed. They got off work at the construction site, let's say, because some of them did have like really thick calloused hands. So either they, you know, either they applaud at the opera with sandpaper between their hands, or they work, you know, manual labor, which is great. We need those jobs. But you know the type I'm talking about. So these guys are there. And they're looking at us a lot, probably because we're speaking English. But in my head, I thought, well, that's weird that we're even being looked at because it's a very international bar restaurant. Like most of the tables were British people and people from Brazil and, you know, whatever. Everyone was speaking English. It's like the standard there. And then one thing happens. I'm gonna just shorten this now because I realize I'm talking way too much about what the group looked like. The story, this little anecdote here, when I'm there with one and two, is that this one fat asshole, this absolute, and I'm sorry, Mom, but here we go. Like this one absolute pile of shit person comes over and he is blacking out drunk, hammered. I've had half of one beer. And I think that was for the best, because when you feel threatened or uncomfortable, sometimes alcohol isn't the solution. So I think it was good that at least one of us was sober. So this guy sits down, and I don't think in the moment he recognized me. I don't think that's why he sat down. Some of the other guys certainly did. And I mean, a different table pulled me over, like, for a photo and stuff. So maybe they didn't know why some of the people around us were looking at me or recognized whatever, you know, who knows? But one big old fat dump truck of an idiot, just a big old, just a big old bag of expired mayonnaise comes by, plops down right, I'm talking like thigh to thigh between me and one and two. And he just starts like barking the most slobbering, like blah, 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 drunk Bavarian I've ever heard. And I'm going to let you in on something here. I can understand German pretty well. Like if it's Hochdeutsch, like, I mean, if it's like, you know, clean German, I can understand it really well, actually. Better than I did a few years ago, certainly. Not everything, but I can see that I've progressed just by being around it, right? So when he just like vomited flubber from the Robin Williams movie at me, he was so drunk. Like Bavarian's not even like, I would never like make, like, someone's dialect is like their culture. That's all fine and good. This guy was like farting out of his mouth, and it was the consistency of flubber. And he said something, and I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what he wanted. I just knew his eyes could not stay in one position more than about a half a second. You know that when you see like people who are that drunk, like, he just like plopped down. It was like, he was like one of the aliens in Men in Black. He was like the dude. He was like Vincent D'Onofrio's alien from the first Men in Black, but just like less cool and shittier. And he said something, and I was like, what I wanted to let you in on was like, when people do that, I go full, like, new immigrant in a new place. Like, I literally just lie. I just go like, I'm sorry, what? I don't understand. Sorry, I don't get it. I just straight up lie, because screw that, dude. Like, if he was a super nice looking guy who, you know, maybe wanted to be complimentary or just like, hey, how's it going, guys? Then for sure, then I'm going to say something like, you know, can you speak Hochdeutsch or something? But when people like, he just came in so aggressive. He came in hot, okay? I need to make that clear. He plopped down literally like between us and barked something with his crossed eyes and his like, he had like drool on his lip. And it was just, it was, this is why, these are the cases where I just pretend like, it's my first day. Sorry, what, pal? So he goes, I'm not, all of this is 100% true. He kind of like, when I say I don't understand German, like when I say like, I don't, what are you saying? I don't know. He looks at me, like he kind of leans in, you know, cause like super drunk people kind of like their butt is in place, but their shoulders are being controlled by like a cement mixer. It's like, and he leans in and he tries to think of English words, and he goes, let's arm wrestle. I am dead ass serious with you. He says, let's arm wrestle. And I looked him in the eyes and I'm so serious. I went, no, thanks. I'm good. We're good. No. And he goes, why not? By the way, I'm looking over at the end of the table, and the other seven dudes, also hammered, obviously, not a one of them would ever in a gajillion years take accountability for their hammered friend who, like, essentially is accosting strangers. To arm wrestle, like, what do you want to be? Do you want to feel like a man? You want to feel like a big old man, do you? What happens if you win? You go back to your bros and what, blow each other? Like, what? Sorry, Mom. But, like, what is that? What is that? But if you, okay, you, okay, let's imagine I said yes, and then he wins. Cool. It ain't making the thing in your pants any bigger, my guy. Like, or if you really want to, maybe he found me pretty. It's like, if you want to touch dudes, man, there's a lot of clubs in this city. He was even in a reasonably decent neighborhood for that. He could have gone to so many bars and clubs to touch men. He could have done that. So I don't really get this. I think that overly aggressive masculine energy is the worst kind of gay. Like, because you know that he's dropping like F slurs at actually open homosexual men. And he's the kind of guy who's like, I won't touch her arm. He kept talking about how strong my shoulders look. Go to a gay club. Go. So lame. Like, look, even if he's, it doesn't matter what he's sexually excited by. It's just so lame. I can't think of anything more lame than that. That's like, as a man, right? I can't and I wouldn't speak for women, obviously. There's nothing lamer on planet Earth than like this masculine guys, or like, well, he wasn't masculine. He was pretty, you know what I mean? These guys who like forceful, like they force this aura of masculinity. It's false. It's fragile. It's hollow. It's flimsy, right? Other adjectives. When people like so clearly give off the most bullshit, fragile version of masculinity or intelligence or strength or courage or whatever, when it's like so clear, like clear as day, this is, what are you doing? There's not in the world, there's nothing lamer than that to me. Like, why are you wasting your time doing this? So anyway, I do feel that I have to emphasize that it wasn't like some guy came up and was like, hey man, can we arm wrestle? There's an energy about people. And especially when they're blacking out, wasted, drunk, and they can't read the room. Like, this is the kind of guy who legitimately, you know, he cannot read body language. He can't read social cues, you know? And even if he could, on a normal day, he's hammered. So that also has a huge effect on it. So I just straight up said, No, I'm not doing that. I'm proud of myself. Like, I really was clear. I wasn't aggressive. I talked like this. I was there with number one and number two, and I was just like, no, what? No, they're eating. There's food on the table. There's beer glasses. No. And then he tried to think of how to say the next thing, and he goes, There's a German thing of like finger wrestling, kind of. It's like arm wrestling, but just like so much lamer. Like, from the people that brought you lame drunk arm wrestling with strangers this summer, we've got finger wrestling. Ryan Gosling in. Can I touch your finger with my finger? Because it's like our pee-pees are touching.
George Clooney, Brad Pitt, return for Ocean's Fingers.
Guys, I'm like, doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom, doom, doom. How are we going to get this heist off this time? Well,
and Matt Damon walks in the room. We're going to have to do what we always do, boys.
Put our fingers through our zippers and lock them up.
We're going to have to do the prison tango, fellas. Oh, I'm sorry. The prison tango. Woo. My God. Do you, like, I wonder about dudes like that. Like, the poor women who may have had relations with this kind of guy. Like, ew. Was that like a death row punishment? Was it like, well, you think a woman like slaughtered people with a chainsaw, and then the government was like,
all right, so Anna, let me take a look at your case here. Wow. 16 people chopped their heads off. Okay, so you got two options, okay? You can either go to death row and be injected in an undisclosed amount of time in a very uncomfortable, underfunded prison. That's one option. Okay, thank you. Thanks, bailiff. And let me see. Oh, option two. Okay, option two is make sweet, sweet love to the biggest loser you've ever seen in your life, and you gotta sell it. You gotta go on the date and listen to him talk about work, not ask you any questions. He's gonna make comments about, oh, how you belong in the kitchen, and oh, you shouldn't wear outfits like that because it makes you look slutty, and you're gonna have to deal with all that, and then you're gonna have to go home with him, you know, to his shared apartment with his buddy Eric, who does not believe in soap. And you're gonna have to go all the way, honey. All the way. He's not gonna ask for permission. He's not gonna ask what you like. Nope. Not one little bit. You know what? It's gonna have to boost his ego so he can tell all his buddies that he's, you know, he has no worth, obviously, in his mind. So this will give him worth in his mind. This will give him worth. So
I'm going to go with death row immediately. You can use the chainsaw on me as well right now in the courtroom. I really don't mind. This is the kind of guy we're dealing with here at this bar restaurant. Well, the number one and number two. And by the way, I've not forgotten the rest of the story, but this anecdote's crazy because the guy didn't stop. He didn't stop. He's like,
Do you know German finger wrestling?
And I literally looked at him and I said, I don't care. Relax. I don't care. Relax. I'm proud of myself. I'm often not proud of myself in these situations, but I'm happy that I stood up. Not literally, but like, you know, socially. It was like, no, I don't care. Then he's like,
what? This is how it works.
As if I asked you, tub of shit. And he like puts his finger out, which they're, you know, they're either calloused from working on a construction site, or this guy likes some websites a little more than others. And I guess like you lock fingers because he's too afraid to discuss how he kind of wishes he could interlock some peepees. And then what you do is like you as you're pulling them, I guess, you put a knee, like you put your knee up against a table. I didn't quite let, like he didn't even quite let himself explode. Guys, man. Sorry about that. I am very animated telling the story and then I keep hitting this microphone stand, but it's made of metal and springs. So every time I bump it, it's just like, gung. Anyway, yeah, this guy was trying to explain like this weird Bavarian lovemaking tactic. No, it's like it's some sort of game, kind of like arm wrestling, but like you lock your fingers or something and then you kiss. No, I'm kidding. You lock your fingers and then like I guess you put your knee up against the table for leverage, right? And and this was So this is so true. I'm there. I'm watching him. I'm watching him with an expression on my face that is like, if this man like combusted into flames, I wouldn't get a fire extinguisher. I'm looking at him. My eyelids have drooped so low. You know that look where you like your eyebrows are neutral, and then you're like where your eyelids just sink. Like you're not looking sleepy. You're looking like just full of contempt. Like not even anger. It's just like if there's a wormhole or an alternate universe, alternative universe. If there is like a space ghost that was made of fangs or like, if someone came in, my eyelids were drooped so low, and I had the expression of like, if someone came in here with a GUN, I would volunteer. It sounds terrible, but I'm looking at him like, how are you not reading that I would rather lay down in front of an 18-wheeler that was left in neutral on like a 5-degree declined hill that would just slowly crush my spine? It's crazy when people just don't read a room. And these drunk guys, it's not just Bavarian dudes. I know these guys from the South too. It's like they enjoy people hating them so much. And I don't quite, it's really sad actually, like to thrive in a world of like, you know, all around this table. And then I'll get to the point of the end of the story here. But like this whole room, right? It's like, we're not the only table. It's a huge location. And it's a lot of international people, and it's a lot of, you know, pretty women and like interesting, you know, traveling engineering students and artists and, you know, aspiring writers and like film students. It's like a really cool mix of people, all ages. Some of them looked like 18, which again, for those who don't know, you can drink under 21 here, but like, it's like pretty young people all the way to like 60. Like there's a huge spectrum of people here. And it's just a shame that you still, in 2026, this guy probably wasn't even 30. He was probably like 27, 26. And he's just such, he's like, I actually pity him because I knew guys like that. And those guys like that, they were torture for me in high school. And I know now that I've, you know, grown up, that I can see him and go like, dude, you have some things to work out. You have got to like break from your, you have to break from your routine. You need to work through some things. Like daddy didn't love you. You know, you're obviously using like aggression as a coping mechanism. You know, it's just like such, like, something anybody could see. It's not even like needing to have the experience. You're just looking at behavior and being like, dude, why are you enjoying that all of these girls and me and these other friends are all looking at you with such, like, such contempt? You know, it like fueled the fire that we stared at him as if we could maybe with our eyes like burn a hole through him. And he just, I don't know, it's so crazy that some people are like that. So he's explaining the finger locking thing, and then he puts his knee up on the table, and, you know, number one and number two are there, and they're sharing like a club sandwich, and I, you know, there's beers all over the table, and his big old dumbass, like, he's like, and then you put your knee on the table, and he like pushes the table like an entire foot away, and I remember like throwing my hands up as if I was being held hostage, but still sitting in my chair, and I went, relax, dude, relax. I remember like, I looked at him and I was like, I remember saying like, you gotta chill out. You need to relax. No one wants to do this. I remember looking, I was like, nobody wants to do this. I'm not playing that with you. He went, warum? Why not? I said, I don't want to. Ask someone else. And he just couldn't wrap his head around that. And then there was a guy next to me from his group, and I looked at it. I remember this pissed me off too. It was like, I looked at one of his friends who looked a little smarter. And I said, is that guy with your group? And he was like,
yeah, I think he's with us.
I was like, you think? And I said, what do you do? Like, I was like, you guys need to chill him out. Like, what's going on here? I remember, I think, what did I say? Not rein him in. But, oh no, I just looked at him. I was like, that's your dude. They were like, yeah, he's in our group. I said, he needs to relax. Can you guys calm him down? Like, this is crazy. And of course they did nothing, which is equally as bad as like aggressively challenging a stranger to arm wrestling when they just go, like, I was, you know, you guys know me. I was overly nice at first. I was like, no, we're good, man. We're good. We're good. No, no, no. It's okay. And then at some point I said, relax. I looked in his eye. I was like, relax. It was just so, oh, and he just drove me crazy. And he, you know, he would leave where we were, go to the other side of the table, and then one and two and I could talk. And then he would come back and sit there and ruin the whole mood again. And he would, and it was just over and over and over. And at some point, I think he went to pee, and I looked at, or no, or maybe he was back on the other side of the table. And I looked at one and two and I was like, I'm leaving. I hadn't even been there that long. I'd been there like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. No, it was, I hadn't even finished my second beer. I think I'd just been there for an hour. And, or maybe under an hour, actually. Now that I think about it, I think it was under an hour. And I told them, I'm leaving. And they were like, what? Why? They're non-German, but they're not American. So they still have like, you know, different sort of cultural instincts about things from me. And I was like, look, I grew up with guys like this. It's kind of a trigger for me. And number one was like, yeah, I can tell. And I was like, well, look, I'm an adult and this guy is hammered and he's just trying to get a reaction out of me. I told him very politely, no, I don't want to arm wrestle. And no, I don't want to lock fingers with you. You just go to the other clubs and kiss a boy if it's really that important to you. And, you know, then it only got worse from there. Like, you know, then they found my Instagram page and then it was just all over the place. And then one of the guys too was also like, well, that's not really my story to tell, but he was being, another guy was also being like a little inappropriate with, one of the people that I was with and, in a different way. And it's just gross. It's just like, what kind of, like, we're in Munich, man. You guys aren't even 30. I mean, it would not be excused at any age, but just at any age, but it's just like, you're supposed to be like the next generation and you're gross and you're so lame. And it's just depressing. That's what it is. It's depressing. Like, I think about them and I'm like, man, you know, I have empathy if they were, you know, if they had, you know, trauma or they just weren't raised right. You know, a kid can't control how he's raised. But at some point, there is like a certain, you know, there is responsibility of like how you treat others. And that behavior, I'm so serious. That behavior reminded me of like those cliche bad guys in like an 80s pool bar. That's exactly what it was like. It was like going, it was like Roadhouse or like the first bar in Terminator 2 when naked Schwarzenegger gets like the leather jacket and stuff. It was like one of these things where it was like, like, hey, you going to arm wrestle, loser? And I'm like, what are we doing? This is not like a Broadway performance of Grease. You know, like, I'm not gonna like race you for pink slips, my guy. Like, go away now. And mind you, in the background, there's someone doing karaoke that's singing, like, I don't know, like, Peg from Steely Dan or something. Hey, ho, back to you.
You want to arm wrestle?
No, what year is this? Oh my god. Anyway, so I paid my tab and left that table and was convinced to not leave from the two people I was with. And I said, okay, I'll try it out, but I'm not going to stay at this part of the restaurant because there was a cool other bar area that had the karaoke going on. So we went over there. So then everything was fine there. And I got recognized a few times. Now, I think I needed that validation. You know, it wasn't like for different reasons, you know, just things are changing with my work. And it's, you know, sometimes as a freelancer, feeling uncertain about things, you're always like, oh, I hope people still like me. And then, you know, when someone comes up and they just are so sweet and they want a photo, it's like, oh, okay, yes. Oh, thank God. Okay. So that was really sweet. That kind of made up for it. But I saw that loser again later and, oh my God, he's just what's a good description? He's just like a walking bag of maggots that, they just ate like a month old 6 pound supply of bologna. Yeah. he's the kind of person that Hannibal Lecter would go, I'm not that hungry, guys. He's the kind of, you know what he is? He's the way he behaved and the way he would like act. He's the kind of guy that Dexter Morgan would have had a like inner monologue playing. He would have been like, so he's fragile with his masculinity, but he challenges others to compensate. Well, tonight I'm going to compensate for I'm going to murder you. That's what he would say in his head. Basically that happened. So that's how I met. Wow. 37 minutes basically, or looks like it now on my screen, to basically tell you how I met number two. So here's another funny story, right? I mean, this is a podcast after all. So, that evening, the rest of the evening was very nice. And then, number one and I, like I said, we've been getting like really close as friends and it's really nice to chat about like, you know, struggles in Germany. And then number two, I got number two's contact that evening and they knew they knew who I was, you know, from the internet and things, but they didn't make it like the main focus or something like that. It was, sometimes when you meet new people through a friend, the friend, you know, unbeknownst to you might inform them about like what, you know, like, oh, who is this person? And then they're, you know, naturally they might be like, well, you know, he's something on Instagram, social media or whatever. And that's okay. It's not like your friend's trying to do anything wrong, but sometimes then you meet the friend of the friend and then there's like an expectation maybe to be super funny, or there's, maybe an expectation on their side. Like they, you know, some people have never met a person who, I'm trying to be careful with the language here because I'm not trying to like put myself into a category that I don't think I belong in. But, you know, there is like some very minimal levels of fame to it. Like very, 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 very minimal, very minimal, very minimal, very minimal levels of fame to it. And sometimes if you're meeting a friend of a friend and the friend of the friend recognizes who you are, then even that tiny minimal level of fame might have an effect on just like talking, just being like making a new friend. I think I'm making sense here. But that didn't happen that evening. So that was nice. So I got the contact for number two And it was a chance to, so then an opportunity came a couple days later to go have some Chinese food with number two. And I thought, well, that's cool. You know, maybe like making a new friend. And this was the point that I brought all of this up for, which was basically, I may have never had a more boring dinner in my entire life. Like, this was insane. I know that I'm a talker, or as they say these days, I'm a yapper, you know. I also understand that my humor is not everyone's cup of tea. And I know that I can be, as an American, particularly in Europe, and in Germany, I can be overly polite, which, you know, may come off a bit annoying or needy. It can come off needy. And I understand that. You know, I've worked on that. It still happens, though. And I think if I come off needy out of politeness, I'd rather it be that way than coming off needy out of, you know, aggressive actions, right? So I meet this person at this restaurant, and I know that I can be hyperbolic. Like, I know that I can really expand on certain feelings of how things went, but I am telling you the God's honest truth when I say that. And by the way, just a reminder, this is a person that I briefly met at a loud bar, had short conversations with, and knew very little about. At this dinner, I would say the entire thing, the entire engagement of like being at the table with the person, because they relate, that's okay. The entire like interaction, if you can even call it that, was maybe, let's see, closer to 8 p.m. I would say, let's just round it up to 3 hours, right? Maybe it was closer to 2.5. I think it was, let's say 2.5, right? For 2.5 hours, I think I know I asked a few questions. I was like basically permitted to say less than 100 words. I do 100 words like in the intro of this podcast. I was not, and I'm so serious. Jordan Prince comedy aside, I'm serious. I was not asked one single question. I'm on my life, on my family's life. I'm that serious about that. I'm telling you the truth. The American in me, perhaps wanting to make a nice impression, knowing that this is the friend of a friend that I'm getting closer to, that I want to make sure that, you know, everything's like cool and nice and chill and relaxed. Also me being uncertain of like, hanging out with a really new person, especially when it's through a different friend, you know, sometimes you wonder like, is there an underlying motivation behind it, or is it really just that chill? You know, and usually within like a few minutes, you know, if it's like actually cool or not. Like a couple of my closest friends now were friends of friends. Like Moritz was, knowing friends with Efi before we became friends. And then through Moritz, I met my friend Bob. And so it's like, oh, like immediately you go, oh, okay, now I get that person. I get that feeling. I understand that vibe. This was perhaps one of the most confusing couple of hours I've ever experienced in my entire life. I don't think there was any ulterior motive behind meeting up. And feeling that way and it being, you know, experienced as perhaps just a dinner gaining a new friendship, none of the behavior matched that. I sat there and the first few minutes, there's a couple of things. One, like I said, was not asked one question, not a single one. Not this person doesn't know if I have siblings. This person does not know if my parents are together or if they've passed away or anything. This person doesn't know which city, town, state I'm from. This person doesn't know how long I've lived in Germany. This person doesn't know how I got started in content creation. This person doesn't know that I was a musician at all. Like nothing. I'm telling you, zero questions. And me being polite at the start, you know, I was asking a couple things. And then pretty quickly, I realized, oh man, I'm keeping the conversation going by asking questions. Because there was, you'd be like, hey, what color? Oh yeah, what color is the sky? And then the person would be like, well, the sky is blue. Blue is the sky because yesterday the sky was gray. And then before that, there was some sunshine. So there was a little bit of a yellow tint. And then it was gray again because there's rain. But now, the sky is blue. But the sky is blue always behind the clouds. So the sky is blue because the atmosphere, sky is blue. And that was 2.5 hours. You know, and here's the kicker about that too. Like this was also another person who just doesn't read body language, because I mean, if you're just like looking at a person talk at you, and I have to admit, I have to also say, like, this person's eyes darted around the room a lot. I mean, I do that too when I talk. So I thought, oh, okay, this person's probably like on the spectrum, which I didn't realize at the bar. There was occasional eye contact, but the way this person spoke, I realized, oh, I didn't realize like how neurodivergent you are. And I did not get a chance to ask about that. but there was like, the reason I brought that up was because often like very autistic people can't read social cues, facial expression, or body language. It's very well documented. And there was like a big stretch of time where I literally, imagine like your eyelids are almost closed and you're resting your chin on your face so heavily that your cheek fat is pushing up. I did that for like 30 minutes. I've never done that at a person because that's rude. But at some point I was like, I think I could just like squat under the table. And I don't think this person would know that I've left. It was insane. I've never had that experience before. They just like looked at a wall and talked about nothing. And when there would be a gap, I would ask another question because I'm a nice guy. But I never got... I mean, even the standard thing of like, is Prince your real last name? Not even that. Nothing at all. And my last thing, and I'll leave it with this. My last little like little thorn in my side is that I would occasionally chime in like when an opinion would be something that I felt I had an agreement with, and it would be something that I, you know, thought, oh, you know, if this person knows that I agree or can have an insight as well on this topic, perhaps the conversation can actually start, as opposed to me just mostly waiting for death. Every time that I would bring up an opinion, the person would negate it. And now, this is a huge pet peeve of mine. This is an enormous, enormous pet peeve of mine. But like, you know, let's say, for example, the topic would be something, these are all made up, but I'm just making things up just so you feel the example, but it would be something like the person saying, oh, I hate when you go to the train station and the trains are just always late. That's so annoying. And I would find a moment where I could go, oh, yeah, oh, totally. That's so annoying when the trains are always late. And then the person would go, well, it's not that they're late. It's more like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, just trying to agree with you, but all righty then. Then another thing would come up. Oh, you know, I just love dogs. Dogs are so cute. And I thought, oh, you know, something like, you know, I've grown up with dogs. My mom has dogs. I love dogs. This could be an opportunity to talk about dogs, right? So, like, you know, maybe there was a beat of, oh, dogs are so pretty. I love how dogs play fetch, you know, just as an example. And I would go, oh, you know, I love how dogs play fetch. That's fun. Dogs are fun. And then the person would go, well, it's not that dogs are always fun. And it... every single time... every single time that I wedged myself into the conversation like an IKEA door stopper, like... may I please? The person would go, no! Get out of here. This is my stage. Oh, I like hats. Cool. I like hats too. I wear a lot of hats. Well, it's not actually that, like, I like hats. I don't, you know, this drink tastes bitter. Yeah, I noticed that too. It is kind of bitter. Well, it's not really that it's bitter. Go away from me, you troll. You non-social cue reading, absolute, like, conversation thief. You absolute conversational hoarder, roadblocking any semblance of human interaction. I want you to be alone forever, ever, ever, ever. That's mean, but it was terrible. It was terrible. And then I'm going to end with this. Dinner ends. Thank God. And I politely ask, you know, when there's a moment, where, you know, which direction do you have to go in, because I honestly didn't want to go the same direction. And this person was like, oh, I'm, you know, two blocks down this way. And then they asked, do you want to, like, just walk to that bus stop? Or is that too far for you? Like, I genuinely was in the other direction, but I'm just too nice to say, oh, well, you know, actually, oh, it's not actually a bus stop. It's actually a large transportation automobile landing point with time schedules. So, of course, I said, oh, yeah, sure. Walked the two last, like, the two longest blocks of my entire life. And it was the fastest, you know, like, all right, cool. Yeah, this is fun. All right, dude. We'll stay in touch. Not, you know, and then, like, one of those, like, uncles, like, a hug that weren't, like, when you barely know an uncle that you see, like, once every Thanksgiving, that's just like, all right, you know, and then I did something I almost never do, which actually was great, which was, I think I was four or five blocks from the train station that I needed to get to. And I usually always walk around with AirPods in. And for the entire walk, and I'm talking, I strolled slowly. For that entire walk until I got into the train, I think it was until the first stop of that train. So this is like maybe 25 minutes, I just walked in silence. Oh, it was chilly, just ever so slightly raining, just sprinkles, like not enough to bother you. hearing the sloshing of the tires against the asphalt, overhearing, you know, pitter-patter and chit-chat from, like, you know, local students around. And I passed a place where there was a cover band playing Hey Jude, totally true, which was kind of cool. And just hearing, like, the... Amazing. Oh, I reveled in the silence like a monk in the Himalayas, man. Well, I'm going to leave you with that wild, very all over the place story, but I hope you had some fun. Make sure to stand up for yourselves if you get stuck in those situations, and don't be overly nice, because it sucks to be the overly nice person in those situations. And if you had fun, if you had a good laugh, if you have not subscribed, now's a good time to do so. It's free to do, and it really helps me. Liking the episodes, commenting, sharing them, even if it's just, if you know me, even if it's just to me. Helps the algorithm boost these episodes to new listeners who enjoy it. And yeah, thank you so much for everyone who listens to the show and for the subscribers. And I hope you guys have an absolutely wonderful rest of your week. Have a happy Easter if you celebrate that, even if it's just time on your own or time with family, time with friends, whatever, or just some time off work. For God's sake, we need some time away from just the grind. So thank you so much for everybody for listening. And hopefully you're all doing well. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.